Good morning, everyone. Is this better, Diane? Diane is keeping an eye on me. We've been going through the book of Galatians. And sometimes, so we'll try to finish before we go on our vacation this year. But we are going to incorporate our message with other topics. Our servers will change a little bit in the coming months. Next month, we'll have Youth of the Mission. Young people will come and take the service. Last Sunday, we had the Madagascan service. Those of you who are here, that was very beautiful. Thank you, Pastor Tahini. So, a reflection of who we are as SIC. We recognize, turn this off, and then this one. Today I woke up happy. Because I'm married to my wife. But Fiji won the game. Fiji won the tournament. So we were praying. We're praying for you also. And also we're praying that Fiji will win. Well, let's turn to the scripture. Father, we need you. We are human. We pray that you'll help us by your spirit that is here in our midst to open our eyes for you to speak in our hearts. Encourage us today. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The book of Galatians, we've all I think it took a long time that we had this break. But the background, say for instance, here at SIC, God is doing wonderful things, and we have been transformed not only by the transforming power of God, that our lives, that what we used to live, we have lived behind, and now we are living a new way of living. We used to be angry, now we're more patient. We used to be impatient, and now we're more tolerant. We used to do these things that the flesh drives us to do, but now we are walking and living in a different way. Now, the Galatians, that's what they were doing. And then suddenly, a group of people came. They were called the Judaizers also. They were Jews. They were also believers in the Lord. But they have one faith in Christ, and then one is their law, their tradition. And so they went around, they came here to SIC, and they spoke to a few people here and say, what you're doing is not enough. Don't listen to Paul, okay? You need something else other than the gospel. The crucifixion of Jesus and all that Jesus did on the cross, it's fine, it's okay, we all believe in that, but that's not enough. You need to follow the sets of rules in order for your salvation to be complete. So, the book of Galatians, that's exactly what was going on. And Paul, in his effort, when he came, he was so frustrated and angry because all that he has poured into this church, to teach them the gospel, that Christ is the only way of salvation, that he is the pinnacle of our history, that everything that was promised from the Old Testament all lead and point to Christ. So Paul began his argument to bring these people. It is hard for Paul to see. He said a few words. He said, how foolish you are, Galatians, that you listen to these lies. So that means for Paul, their salvation and the truth of the gospel is non-negotiable. It cannot be substituted by the do's and the don'ts and the law. So he began to expound to the Galatians. You know, he come to the point, he said, who has bewitched you? It has to be the work of the devil to influence you from the powerful gospel to move and point astray from the truth. That's how deep and passionate Paul was. So he began to demonstrate to them and explain his argument. So here in chapter 3, he began to look back to history and bring the point of what God has done to history to where they are today. And then he speaks about the covenant. He speaks about the difference between the law and the covenant that God gave Abraham. It's fascinating to see this. I remember on Christmas time, we talk on the book of Isaiah about the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 9, he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a child, a son is given," you know, and then begin to say it, that upon his shoulder will be government. And on the very end of all the promises of what he's going to do, and it says on the very end that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. That God's plan, okay, go back to Eden, that the fall of man, that God was not panicking. Okay, well, what am I going to do? This guy messed up. These guys. No, that God's plan of salvation is not an afterthought. That God planned our salvation from the very beginning. And we see here Paul began to, he took the Galatians back to the promise that God has. So we'll talk a little bit about the covenant. What is a covenant? Because in here, Paul, in chapter 3, began to expound about the covenant that God made through Abraham. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example for everyday life. Just no one can set aside or add to human covenant that has been duly established. So in this case, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is in Christ. Yeah, so he began to expound that chapter 3, 18. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. So he was explaining to the Galatians. But what is the promise? In other translation, it talks about the covenant that God made with Abraham. It says there, he said, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curse you, I will curse." So God's covenant to Abraham is this: I will. I will bless you. I will do this to you. Nothing you will do. It's me. I'm doing this to you. And that's what he's saying. And those who stand against you, I will curse them. So pretty big. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Oh, let me just backtrack here a little bit. But what is a, let's make, talk a little bit about covenant. Many years ago, I married my wife. And we stood on this beautiful beach on sunset. So Ellie, do you, you take Ellen? And my response was, of course, yes. You know, and I show it on the video. I was playing to Ellen. He was laughing, I didn't say, yes, I do. I was saying, yes, of course, I will marry her. The covenant in agreement is an agreement between two parties. They agree, and it's done, like marriage. But in the time of Abraham, it's kind of a weird way to make covenant. It's a pretty dramatic, if we look at the way they did the covenant there. They will bring animals, cut it, and then they will lay the carcass there, and they will walk in between these carcass with blood. So both parties will pronounce, they will announce their commitment from their part, and the other one, their commitment from their part. So maybe it's where the word cut the deal come from. So they make that deal right there. Because what they're saying, if I break this deal, then I might as well be like as dead as this carcass here. So it's pretty dramatic. You will see that in Genesis chapter 15. But God made a covenant with Abraham. Let me just say. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be great. Abraham said, oh, Lord, what will you give me since I am childless? And the heir to my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but the one who will come forth from your own, he shall be your heir. Yeah? 15. Then he took him outside, and he said, now look to the heavens. Count the stars. If you are able to count them, he said, so shall be your descendants. Then he believed in the Lord. And he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So when he believed, one thing about Abraham, he believed everything that God said. God says something, Abraham believed. He didn't, wait a minute. Let's process there a little bit. Abraham, when God spoke, Abraham believed. That's the thing about him. And then he believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to possess it. He said, oh Lord, how may I know that I will possess it? And here goes the covenant God made. He said to Abraham, bring me a three-year-old heifer, three-year-old female goat, and three-year-old ram, and turtle dove. And then he brought those things and cut them in two, lay them on opposite each other, but he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey came down and Abraham drove them away because something is about to happen, something important. And now when the sun goes down, a deep sleep came to Abraham. He fell asleep. And behold, terror and darkness fell upon him. It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven in a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. A flaming torch passed between these pieces of carcass. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying to you, your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, in the river of Euphrates. See, this covenant, let me say here, not two people. It was unilateral. God was making the covenant. Abraham was asleep. He himself made the covenant to Abraham. Abraham didn't have to do anything, but God did. Covenant that he made cannot be broken. God is committed to what he said. That no matter what Abraham and his children did, the covenant that God has bound himself to Abraham still remain. See? And that's what Paul was explaining to these guys. Now, and then there's the law that came. Through Moses came the law. The nation of Israel was formed. Now this covenant, unlike Abraham, is unconditional. God said it. He said, I will bless you, and that's what's going to happen. Yeah. For the nation of Israel, God made also a covenant with his people. And it's a binding covenant in which they both made an agreement, brought in the law, the Ten Commandments. And he said, you shall do this and this and this and this, and I will bless you. And the people stood up and they responded, yes, we will. We will respond. Throughout the history, we see Paul was saying here that it was the law that kept them in check. That the same God, Paul was saying to the Galatians, I'm not against the law. No, not at all. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. There is a purpose of why it's there. There is a purpose. Because law, it exposes our weakness. It brings out the sin. It brings out the need that we need redemption. Because we have the awareness that when I move out of my boundary, there are consequences. When I move out, so the law also is to protect the people. So here, Abraham is saying, Paul is saying, the covenant that God made to Abraham, that those who believe, yeah, in Christ, that through that covenant came the Messiah. Faith, the law has played his role. And he says here that, okay, covenant. He explained a couple of things. One, the custody. I remember the first time I was stopped by a policeman in America. So I was driving. I'm not supposed to be speeding. And suddenly, woo! I looked at that, and there comes this powerful vehicle. So this guy stood out. Excuse me, sir. Do you know what I stopped you? Why I stopped you? So I'm looking at that. This man represents the fullness of the power and the authority of the United States with his uniform. Amazing, beautiful, powerful. Okay, give a ticket. You can contest this ticket at the court. I was sleepless. You know, so of course, that's just the way things are done. So speeding ticket, so I came, sat there. It was my first time in court, and I'm looking around, oh my goodness. And then many people going to pay the fine. And then suddenly, I heard this. And now, Mr. Joel Imbaliwai versus the state of Oregon. I feel so helpless, you know, the power of that. And what he's saying, do not be slave to that law. He's saying to the Galatians, that Christ has came and he has freed us from there. You know, what were we when we are bound by the law? There are more than 600 laws, and it's too much. You know, I step here, I break one. You know, I obey one, and I step to the right, I break another one. You know, so it's a bondage. And that's what they're saying. Hey, you guys, he's saying to the foreigners, the Gentiles, you need to come. Come here. It's good that you believe in Jesus, but you need to be part of us. Yeah? In the Old Testament, it also speaks of those people who have come and joined themselves to the people of God, the Jews. They are not Jews or Israeli by DNA, but by believing and submitting to the law. They are called God-fearers. So that's what they're saying to the Galatians. They're saying to the Galatians, listen here, my brother Derek. Yeah, that's okay that you believe in Christ, but that's not enough. You need the law. You need to do this, all these things. Yeah, so you better come and join. Don't listen to Paul, you know. And then Brother Derek said, I think you're right, you know, because the truth, the gospel for Paul, he says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It says here that before the coming of faith, of this faith in Christ, we were held custody under the law. We were locked up until faith came. So they were bound by the law. The law was our guardian. We, in school in Fiji, Brother Emosi knows this. When we were kids, I grew up a Methodist. It's a huge congregation, and we have security inside the church. Maybe one of our uncle or somebody's grandfather walk around with a big stick. When it's praying time, everybody pray, you know, if we talk, You feel the wrath is coming, you know? And of course, we were cheeky. We were just kids, you know, like those guys. You know, if Josiah and those guys were in our days, they'll be crying all over the place. So it's part of our culture. You don't do that today, they will report you to the police for child abuse. So we were sitting there and we're talking and then poked. So we fear this wrath. It's coming, you know? You know, be quiet. So when we used to have these lollies or lollipops, you know, and when you open it, the noise, especially when everybody is praying, you know, and then you turn around, and this guy with a stick, he's a guardian, a custodian, he's guarding you to make sure you obey the law. For us, it was hard. We don't like church. We just want to go there and have fun. But this old man with the big stick is there. You know, hey, you know, so we're afraid of him. Even when we go to the shop and meet him, you know, hello, good morning, you know, we carry that fear with us. The law was our guardian until Christ came, you know. He said, no longer. There's a story of John Sione. This guy is a little kid who wants to play rugby, so he was kicking ball in the village. And there was this house here. And then he was playing with his friend, and then he kicked the ball and went through the glass. You know, there was a guy that lives there that's strange. So Sione ran away and hid under his bed, waiting for that knock that will come. And then the next day he went to school. He came back from school, has his backpack. He kept looking behind him. To, you know, and then suddenly he saw this guy coming from the shop, and then he started getting nervous. His heart was pounding. He remembered what he did, yeah? So he ran, screamed, went to his house, to his room, under the bed, waiting for that knock. The next day, the same thing. He's getting in the bus, he's looking, he got out of the bus from school, he's looking. So one day he was walking to school, he heard footsteps behind him. He turned around, there he was. fear, everything just came to this man, this little boy, and he ran. Look at the gate, the entrance to the door. He was running, and then he heard footsteps behind him. He kept running, and then suddenly he felt a hand on his shoulder. You know, he turned around, no! And that was this man. I said, John, you don't need to be afraid anymore. I want to say to you that I know you broke the window. I just want to let you know that I fixed it. It's okay. You don't need to run. No more. I fixed it. The cross did that for us. That guilt, that our faith in him brought us salvation, that we are no longer bound by the law. And that's what Paul is stressing to the Galatians. You are free. Not only that you were locked up under a guardian, but in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir to his promise. And many times we create our own rules ourselves. Many times the church create our own rules in others that we are bound ourselves against to the things that we have made for ourselves. Sometimes our view of who we are, like John, sometimes we think that that's what God is like to us. That when I do something wrong, he will be after me with that stick. God is gracious to us. What are we in Christ? In Christ we are sons and children of God. Amen? In Christ we are all one. In Christ we are Abraham's seed. That's what Paul is trying to say to the Galatians. God's action through Christ, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Is this coming out of there? No? Sorry about that. Nope. Never mind. But I'm just going to read it out. What is a Christian life? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. But when the set time come, God sent his son. Yeah. We read before, born under the law. But also God sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That we are no longer bound. You and I are free. And we need to walk in that freedom. God loves us. Two songs I had in mind, and that is, Christ is enough for me. And that's what Paul is saying to the Galatians. Christ, everything you need, Joely, is in Christ. Don't yoke yourself again to slavery, to bondage. There are different ways of bondage that we set ourselves in today. Slave, we become slaves to those things. And I pray today that we will continue to walk in the freedom of what Christ did to us through his death, through his resurrection, and through the Spirit of God in us identifying us, reminding us of who we belong to. Said the Spirit of God in us who calls out, Abba, Father. I can look to the heavens and I can call out, Father, I belong to him. You and I, we belong to him. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for the covenant. Covenant you made for us. You set those covenants. It was your initiative and your intention to bless us, that through Christ we will be blessed. Help us to learn from this passage not to be bound again by the things around us, even by our own decision and choices. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to invite us to stand together. We are going to declare together our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. We can be seated.